The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's that time of the early morning that we discuss economic and trade affairs, 17 minutes past the hour of 6. And today, like any other day, we look at affairs of business and also affairs of trade. Where are you? What are you doing? And are you able to contribute to national development? Are you still sleeping? And understand that we need to build a country. We have a discussion to catch up on. And also we have an economy to build and a nation to protect. That Namibia needs you more than ever before. And we need to make sure that problems that you are dealing with, we have contributed to the solutions and also building the Namibia that you want. A lot of things are happening. A lot of things are happening, things are happening in the world. And, starting with the news on Namibia, I think when it comes to sport, we really need those infrastructure. Because Namibian boys are losing. Oh, we're just happy when Brave Gladiators brought, Kosafa home. And just recently, Namibia lost, the Brave Warriors lost 2-0 to Kazakhstan. Lost, 4-0, 2-0, sorry, 2-0 to Kazakhstan. And, Kazakhstan is not only, they did not just beat us 2-0. They are also ahead of us in terms of, although we are in the top 5 in terms of uranium production, when it comes to spot, they also sort us out. And you really think that, the boys might just come home and train more. The question is where. And also maybe be motivated because, there must be something wrong somewhere. It's not only about infrastructure, but also maybe about formalizing and also professionalizing our soccer. And make sure that when somebody is a soccer player, is a full-time soccer player, it's paid by the profession of being a soccer player, not to be a soccer player and you're also hustling. And I think there was a conversation like that, particularly from chief administrator of Namibia Sport Commission, to say formalizing and professionalizing all sport codes and also empowering the players. I think it will take us somewhere far because we can't just be a punching bag of all the countries, even countries that are not known for sport. Some of those countries were just known for cricket and many other things. And maybe even if you are given Venezuela, they are going to beat us. People were teasing Venezuela to say, no, that country is just... it's only known for Miss Universe, not for war and other things. But I think Venezuela can also beat us if we are not prepared. The question that we should also ask is that what is going on? What is wrong? Is it really that Corinne Benjamin is not a good coach? I don't think so. Is it really that the Namibians, they don't want to play? I don't think so. Is it really that we are unlucky? Every team that we get into, we just get beaten. There must be something wrong. And once we identify that what makes us being beaten by everybody, and we don't have power in terms of dominance, even in the SADC region. The last time we won, I think when we won COSAFA was 2015, we were there with Ricardo Manetti. From there, And it's really not a good thing when we are not prioritizing what we are saying we are prioritizing. There was a communication, and I think, and I also hope that this year, Brave Warriors will train at home and will play at home. I remember last year when Tata Dino Barotti was saying, no, the boys gonna play at home before the end of the year. Yes, the intention was good. Maybe this year, even if it's end of the year, they must play at home. They must be supported because beaten by Kazakhstan, really. I think we really need to up our game and see what we can do, especially when it comes to affairs of sport. Yeah, the other news which is happening, especially in the continent of Africa, because today we are starting with Africa. We have been discussing about the Middle East for a very long time, although we are also going to update you. The very interesting thing that is happening, particularly in Uganda, to say there are good and bad things that happen in Uganda. But one thing that we cannot take away from Museveni is that his administration has proven progress. It's proven progress, especially when you look at the Ugandan economy. Ugandan economy, it was stated that the economy of Uganda expanded by 8.5% in the last quarter of December. The last quarter of 2025. That is December last year. So the economy of Uganda has expanded. And, you know, we must really be jealous. And not in a bad way. We must really be jealous as a country. And, I think one thing that, Museveni was able to be good at, he's only not good at, giving power away. But, he's a reasonable person. He's a thinker. And he can reason in terms of economy. I think maybe his experience or other things. And he's also understand which one is a real deal and which one is not a real deal. And know that Uganda, they are also manufacturing cars. If you go and look at their industry, then you'll be able to understand. And one of the TikTok friend, the well-known minister of finance for Uganda, the guy who said the money is coming, he's really proving that the money is coming in Uganda. This Matias Kasaija, I think it's not only a minister who has humor, but they were able to, you know, to revive and expand their economy. They stated that Uganda finance minister announced that the economy had grown with 8.5% in the last financial quarter, and area growth also expected, and in the same quarter. Our growth in the same quarter had stood at 5.4%. And that was announced by Mr. Matia Kasaija. That is the Minister of Finance and National Minister of Finance Planning and Economic Development for Uganda. It's a guy who said the money is coming. And the money is really coming, especially in Uganda. And it is stated that the strong consumer demand and increased activity in several sectors, such as construction, have helped in building the economy. And the Ministry of Finance has also announced that 5 billion pipeline meant to help Uganda export its crude oil to international market through Tanzania coast is nearly finished. And that is what is happening. And Uganda government put much hope into economic driving force of pipeline. Its project of 2.2 trillion Ugandan shillings in reserves from oil export for coming financial year. And I think, you know, Uganda has oil also, but in a small amount. But they're able to manage it. And they're investing in their reserves. And I think when this Middle East oil price crisis is going to hit us, I think Uganda will also take long to, you know, to feel that pressure. Because you really look at the industries that are built in Uganda. Apart from cracking down of protest, I think there's a lot to learn. There's really a lot to learn, especially when it comes to Uganda. Because people are moving, and ask yourself a question. Look, Uganda has no political stability is not as in Namibia. But the question is that how come they have managed to be where they are? Yes, there is no democracy that we have. Their population is higher than us. Maybe we have a lot of good things, but how come they are where they are now? They are very good at negotiating. And if you listen to Museveni's script, you listen to his conversation, to his interviews with international journalists, you realize to say this guy, he has been around, but he can reason. And you don't need somebody just to be there. You can really say that, how come the economy expanding with 8.5%? You also ask yourself to say, is Uganda part of, Shanghai Organization Cooperation that have economic expanding beyond IMF expectation? And he's also a guy who does not tolerate, anything. If he's not happy with the deal, he will not say it's a win-win. He will just say, go, we remain with our resources. And I think that is really something that we need to learn, especially when it comes to economic development. And also picking a right finance minister and pick right advisors. It's also one of the things that keep going.
Easter's cheaper with extra low prices at Furman Brock. Get 2 kg Tastic rice for $36.99. A 2 litre Coca-Cola for only $21.99. 2 kg Sunlight hand or auto washing powder for $54.99. And 9 Twin Saver 2-ply toilet rolls for only $69.99. Hop on over to vurmanbrock.com to see more Easter bargains at WB. We care.
Yeah, coming from Uganda there, and looking if you want something to benchmark, and there's always this thing. I'm not against benchmarking. There's always this thing to say, no, we are traveling to countries to look at the best practice. We are going to benchmark. And we're asking to say, in Namibia, how many times did we benchmark, and what did we really do? Did you really come up with ideas, or we just went to the hotels and enjoy ourselves? Yes, maybe there are also good lessons that we have learned from those countries. But if you want to benchmark, go to Uganda. If you want to benchmarking in terms of economy, go to Uganda. If you want to benchmark in terms of how you can best operate an airline, not to just eat the money from government pocket, especially such as when Namibia was draining us. Go to Ethiopia and learn how they are working. Benchmarking, go to Uganda. Go and meet the minister who said the economy is doing very well and the money is coming. He was not only speaking, he was not only known to have humor, but he's a practical guy who know how to play with numbers in a fair way. Look at Uganda. Uganda does not have, it may have their weakness, but they do not have, what they do not have is that, they don't hind in terms of, in terms of debts. Like what happened in other countries where they say, no, we are not going to reveal this one. Let the next administration deal with the problem. Coming to South Africa. And, South Africa, somebody said, Mzanzi is a movie. You don't know what will shock you another day. Every time is different the news. There is new series and episodes. But what happened in South Africa is that South Africa top cop to be charged in a corruption case. South Africa chief of police, that is national commissioner, Feni Masemora, have been served with a summon to appear in court next month. And that was confirmed by the spokesman for South Africa National Prosecuting Authority. And it's regarding 20 million health tender and the case that has locked the country and pulled dozen of other officers into this scandal. And it's a well-known case that involved the well-known business person, Keith Matala, also known as John Vic. And it's also part of the case that has been going on, especially with the South African investigation, either is Madranga Commission, either is Parliamentary Ad Hoc Committee on investigating and also analyzing what happened, especially with South Africa Police Service, Security Cluster, and also the judicial system. Say the state apparatus is infiltrated by criminals, and to that extent that they have influence and power over decision making and also directing the country's economy. That is why when people are looking at a person such as Keith Matala, it's a well-known guy who invests $1 million in his security every month, and the guy who has a bodyguard equivalent to a paramilitary, and he's not recruiting any bodyguard. He's recruiting special field force guys who are trained and cost a lot of money. And when they say that the state is not paying them well, pay them 100,000 a month, understand that it's complicated. It's bigger than you think. Now the guy who was on top of South African police is summoned to appear in court. That is the 21st of April. And President Cyril Ramaphosa had noted and confirmed, the charges, and it really says a lot about the strength of South Africa, the strength and also the weakness of South African system. But what is very interesting is also that how is the police service going to operate, how is SAPS going to operate, especially where you have somebody who is summoned to appear in court. It's not yet charged, it's not yet found guilty, but in a situation that he is charged, for example, who will lead South African police, especially from, police administration matter, because, the deputy national commissioner is suspended. Now, the chief now, is also called to appear. And, a lot of things. And there's also a lot of speculation to say there were only a few days before. Before General Nana Mkwanazi's contract extended, but it's also the 21st of April is far. Maybe it's going to be extended. There are considerations based on that. But who's going to lead South Africa in that situation, particularly if what of is happening have happened? Because look, when a court summon a national commissioner, national police commissioner, it could be, but there is a high chance that there are very strong evidence, because calling the head of police to come and come to court and answer over 20 million health tender, it's not 20 million rand, it's 20 million US dollars. Convert that into rent, then you understand how much money it is. And same case that involved awarding of that tender to a businessman, Vusi Keith Matala. And there's a lot of things going on in South Africa, especially when it comes to that aspect of security system, and also that aspect of uprooting either as criminal syndicates. But if you follow what is happening, especially with the ad hoc committee, you realize to say those who were identified are not the guy who have influence yet, And those who testify said, no, do not look at Ketmatara. There is a lot of big guys that are still in the shadow, and we are just scared to say, who are those guys? And that is South Africa for you. And we say whatever is happening in South Africa is direct impact on us. To what extent is that, connected to us, especially in terms of those activities? And what lesson can we also learn? Because when you listen to Soviet Leganyani, the chairperson of Parliamentary Ad Hoc Committee, indicated to say, things become so complicated. And he indicated to say, when it comes to South Africa, the mafia is not somebody who is scared, who is scaring a person anymore. What is scaring you is a system that is controlled by the mafia. Because where you run to, when somebody have done you wrong, you run to that person and report that person again. Because if you are reporting a criminal to a system that he own, a system that he fund, and if you have somebody who can fund even the trip of a minister and can also host you in his house, you realize to say so complicated and a lot of things happening. And on top of that, you also have a former special field force used as, I don't know, is it mercenary or is a hired hitman? You just don't know what is happening. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then you also continue looking at African news. Then also look a little bit in the Middle East on what is happening, particularly when U.S. want to put, troops on the ground. And Iranian are saying we cannot wait any longer. And you just do not know. And here the Secretary General of UN is calling, guys, please stop. This thing must end. And, we must stop this disaster. And there is a lot going on. And people are calculating to say, when it comes to Islamic Revolutionary Guard also, these guys are becoming strong every day due to their faith, because to them, death, they enjoy dying fighting for their country. It is quite a loss when you are fighting to somebody who is not scared of dying. Because every time the general is killed, they promote the new one, and these guys, they almost look alike. You just see white beards. They almost look alike. You promote the hard one. And you just don't know how it's going to end. And in terms of missiles, if you have to calculate at average firing 100 of missiles and drones per day from the 28th of February until today, realize to say there is still a very long way. And this also indicated that regardless of what is happening, the firepower of Iran and US is still there. And when it comes to US, they don't run out of firepower. Maybe they run out of the economy. But the question is how this war is going to end. Because going to Iran, going on the ground, will be one of the most, not only devastating, but will also define the future of the Middle East and also the future of Africa. Because that war is at the heart of global economy, not only in terms of oil, but it's also at the heart of international trade. Because when you weaken a superpower, when you weaken an enabler, when you weaken a trade facilitator, then it's a problem. We may celebrate, there are people who are celebrating when Dubai is going down, but knowing exactly that some of your savings are there, knowing exactly that, those have been some of the destination for international businesses. Because this will be a war that does not have any winner, especially looking forward. And just to indicate, Ministry of Mines will announce, oil review tomorrow. And I'm not guessing or predicting anything. I'm just informing you. And the question is always to say, why so soon? Maybe the oil goes down. Maybe just to assure the public. But that will be announced, tomorrow. Just to give you that information. And one will really look at, does it has to do? Or there is a high chance that it has to do with what is happening in the Middle East. Maybe the review will maintain. Maybe we are going to operate at economic defensive mode, which is good at this time, or the price is going to increase because the world is at shock. But let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to look at the Middle East, and we'll also be looking at the trial of Meta, particularly when it comes to, online addiction to teenagers, and we can proceed.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora isatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 45 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are here until the hour of 8. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And looking at the Middle East, there is a lot of development in the Middle East. You know, since the 28th of February, you know, the world did not sleep. It's rockets after rockets. And there is a destruction, particularly in two countries, Iran and Israel. So every day, it's rockets. Every day, it's ballistic missiles. Every day, it's drones. And, the war is intensifying. in the U.S. strategy is also to make sure that they have sent troops on the ground. It's indicated that thousands of Marines are sent to the Middle East, but they are not yet closer to Iran. But it's also indicated that Iran is also fortifying or strengthening the Kang Island. It's an island, you know, that it's a small island that is 20 kilometers from Iran, within the Strait of Hormuz, and it's also act as a strategic, you know, it's a strategic part of Iran. But it's also stated that Iran is making sure that it's putting a lot of air defense there, because a prediction that the Marine will land there first, 20 kilometers before you enter Iran. And what is also interesting is also the contradiction in terms of reporting of war. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of, you know, narrative, because what is happening on the ground and what is happening on Twitter and what is happening on documents is not corresponding. And when you listen from the officials of the U.S., it stated that Iran nuclear capacity is obliterated. It's a word that I have never heard in my life until the war started. Stated that the capacity is obliterated, and to that they don't have air defense, and also to that their navy is down. But the Iranians are also saying, when you obliterate our capacity, why are you not coming to the Strait of Hormuz? Why do we still have power and control over that? And since the beginning of the war, understand that there is no army that have touched down in Iranian land. And with the U.S., they have air superiority that is equivalent to none. And recently, we can also see the change in the war, because, you know, they are saying if you fight for a very long time, your enemy will also understand how you operate and find a way. Because for the first time in the history of war, that an F-35 jet was shot down, and it's one of the most advanced jet, stated that its cost of that jet is between 90 to 100 million US dollars. And it was known as an invisible, you know, control of the air, particularly when it comes to warfare. But Iran is also saying that they shot down US F-18 jet near Chabah She, and those are some of the development. And you don't know, the Secretary General of United Nations indicated that war should stop now, and call for diplomacy. But behind closed doors, it seems like Iran and US, they want to talk, but there is no clear information on how they will agree on terms and for how long this is going to end and what is the end game. Because at the end of the day, you look at the objectives of war. You look at the objective of war from Israel, from Iran, and also from US. Then you really look at what will happen, particularly at the reconstruction phase. But let's see how things are going to turn out. And yeah, looking at the United States, stated that the Meta, that is Facebook, you know, mother company, or Facebook on its own, was found guilty and reliable of social media addiction case. And you know, when you look at the UK, look at the US, UK is also proposing social media ban, especially to the UK teenagers. And social media is also stated to be addictive and dangerous to the brain, especially when it comes to children. And you know, you find it also in Namibia, where a child, very young, No, sometimes we start operating, having a phone, maybe when you're in grade 6 or maybe 7 there. But you find somebody who is not even able to go to school. Those child are able to put password into the phone. Those kids can also go to Facebook and TikTok. And he stated that it's dangerous and addictive also to the brain. That is why in the UK, in the US, there's a proposal of making sure that there is a curfew or proposing a certain age also to utilize social media and also internet to say there must be regulations in terms of that. But you also understand that there's nobody who suffered legal cases than Mark Zuckerberg. And you also realize that when you look at most of the successful business people, maybe because they target too high, there's no successful business person that did not go through the court case, unless you are not big enough. But in that case, a guy like Zuckerberg, he is facing the Senate, he is a court case every year. But he's a very tough, not only nerd, but innovator. But let's see how things are going to turn out, if they are going to appeal, they are going to pay, and how liable they are going to be, especially looking at that case, because Mark Zuckerberg and the authority, they are always on each other's neck, especially when it comes to regulations, because Meta is expanding, and the use of internet, and the use of technology too, has really revolutionized the world. That is why it's very difficult also to control and also find a way, especially in keeping your society in order and also making sure that when it comes to children, their lives are protected and social media addiction is also, prevented. And you should also ask to say if Zuckerberg is found guilty, if Meta, the company, is found guilty in the U.S., what about Namibia? What are we doing? Are we even concerned about children and social media? Are we even concerned about, the influence on social media, the peer pressure, the change of lives, and also a lack of concentration at school, and also many other things that children get exposed to, especially when it comes to social media. Because you realize to say there are two kinds of life. There is life on social media and there is real life. That's why you also find this teenagers, they also start not appreciating their parents. They think what they see on social media most of the time is real. They are not appreciating their parents. They say, no, mom, look at this person. He's always having something. He's on new places and what. Then you find people engaging in dangerous behaviors. You find people not concentrating anymore. And to a very young person who is not yet defined his future, social media. Imagine that those are the guys who are the founders of social medias. Those are the countries who have found, civilization first. But they are also finding ways on how to protect human intelligence, the capacity of children's health, and also balancing between, utilization and also addiction. So ask yourself a question. What about my country? Are we good with social media, especially with children and teenager? How is it impacting the lives of, these people? And also understand that you are working with data. You become very easy to be manipulated. You are working with data that you do not know. And there also argument of social media collecting information without informing you. That's why it's easy for you to sell a product. Have you ever thought about something that you want to search, then all of a sudden it's pop out because that algorithm has mastered you, and also they know exactly what you like, and you end up being shown what you like, but can also change the reality of things. Then you would end up really not realizing the difference between the real life and also the life which is not there, particularly to the younger people. But those are the cases in the US. So let us Let us look at the short commercial break. Then we can be able to continue with the conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free.
If you lost your show, all of Taliku Tungupo. Omawa o tomono okutako NHP. Genge wa longifaye longifo lili pedulo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku nefiku. Mefilo shishelo haku oye. Owa woshimali wa oshosha kupako. Washika wedgelwa komto alando mako. Kashi, koma punglo e nashano unjolo welewe. Otodulo okulongifa omawa oye. Wa hupuko, opo unamiti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oimali wa ishona. Oyo hodulo okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, omayakulo olu hapu, haka laina kwa telwa, mowa we kwa folo elu unamiti. Ile, oto julu no kuli, okupitifapo e mwedi donumba, toka laino futa eakulo lo elu unamiti. Kwa uyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngono malandola fano ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your life, your peace of mind. NHP will about you.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewetike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbukukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamweli nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe ibali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 1 minute past the hour of seven, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And another news coming in the continent of Africa is that United States Council, I mean U.S. University Council, John Mahama's honor over LGBTQ bill consent, and the Embassy of Ghana in the United States has criticized the University of Lincoln for withdrawing the plan to confer an honorary doctorate on President John Dramani Mahama, particularly due to internal concern raised by the human rights, sexual rights and family value bill, often referred to anti-gay bill. It's indicated that the president of Ghana was already in the U.S. to get his doctorate, but in the last minute, before he was given an honorary doctorate by University of Lincoln, the conferring of honorary doctorate was cancelled due to his stand on anti-gay bill, especially in his own country. And, you know, that is what's happening in the U.S. And, we are really concerned to say, what is going on? The whole president, he went to the U.S. to get his honorary doctorate. And after that, when you are in the country, they say, no, we are not going to confer the doctorate anymore because your country is anti-gay bill. Was it, is it a threat? Is it a push to change his mind? And you're asking yourself a question to say, is it his bill or is it a bill of the people? And what control does university has over the policy of a country? And you are just concerned to say, what are the you know, the powers behind getting an honorary doctorate? Are we going to cancel those policies so we can get an honorary doctorate? Is it really necessary? Because a doctorate was awarded. It's not a doctorate on human rights. It was a doctorate that awarded on leadership, public service, and also global advocacy. But I stated that Lincoln University, they say no, we are not going to award you that a doctorate anymore. Do you really think? I think African leaders also, not really to say we like things, but sometimes we must also stand on our value, and also not only to run when the world is saying do this, but at least stand on your own, because you have your own policies. Because the issue here is that how can a university influence a country on that ground? And and I think people have also realized that African, and I'm saying this with much respect, we love title than impact. We love titles than impact, and it's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous, because just give me a title. Call me professor, even if I'm not doing anything. Call me Dr. David, even if I'm not doing anything. I will give you the whole world. That is Africa for you. Go in history. Look at the title of the late Idi Amin. You will be shocked, because if you look at the title of Idi Amin, the president of the former president of Uganda, is all the title. He was called His Excellency President for Life, Field Marshal A.H.G. Dr. Idi Amin, and the Lord of all the beasts of earth and fishes of the sea, and the conqueror of British Empire in Africa. And Uganda in particular, you look at what the power do to us, and you realize to say those things, people have so far found their way. to move us to say, just give an African a PhD, a doctorate, give an African what. Yes, some they are really deserving. But why do a university has to control and direct the country's policy? And that is Africa for you. You realize to say we love title more than anything. In Africa, everybody has a title. But when you go to advanced countries, you will not hear those titles. But when you look at, compare Africa, Africa with other countries, look at the titles, look at the honorary qualification that we are getting, which some, yes, we deserve them. But are they also used to be a tool? Because here is being revealed. What other things did we do to impress a university of other? Because the things are being revealed here to say, a whole head of state with all your resources from your team, your security, and you enter US, they say, no, we are not going to do that anymore because of what you did there in your own country. So why did you call me? But yeah, that is what's happening. And I think it's a sign of disrespect, really, especially to African leaders. And when we don't stand on our value, when we don't have a caliber of Duma Boko and the caliber of Museveni, who said, if you don't want, you can just go. And also, a few things can also be learned from the late Mugabe. To say, principles sometimes matters. When you see African leaders, and they are making us feel small. When you see them in the U.S., in the White House, it just shows that they look so small in front of Trump, but they're supposed to operate equal. They look so small when they go to China, they go to Russia, they look so small. But why can't you represent us as our head of state? If people don't respect you, you leave. We find a way. We have already suffered enough. And, that is what have happened, especially when it comes to to Ghana. And just lastly, before we look at what we have today, is to look at Taiwan has skipped a World Trade Organization meeting after Cameroon labeled it a province of China. It was stated that Taiwan has announced that it will for the first time skip the major World Trade Organization ministerial meeting after a dispute with the host nation, Cameroon, over how the island was identified as an official document. And, African countries, we also bully people. How can you call Taiwan an island of China? Taiwan stated that the fourth WTO ministerial conference set on from today to the 29th in Yaounde, which including a representative from Taiwan. Taipei Ministry of Foreign Affairs said on Tuesday it will not come to Cameroon as a sign of protest, especially Cameroon issued a visa paper labeling Taiwan province of China. And they say, no, we are not coming. That is happening. In Africa, we also bully people. It's also not a good thing to call somebody who he is not or who he does not want to be called. Can you label Taiwan the island of China? It's like you are mentioning Namibia to be a fourth province of, a fifth province of South Africa. You cannot do that. It's an insult. Because people, they are independent. And that is what's happened. I want to say we are not coming to the WTO. But it also says a lot about the tensions between two countries and also a relationship, because one word in diplomacy can change the whole system and can also cost you an agreement. Just the way you label a person, just the way you communicate to a person. That's why diplomats are one of the most careful people. Some of them, they speak very slow because they understand that words, every word means something. One mistake you made in a meeting people will just pull out and go. You lose your trade agreement, you lose your conversation. That's why tactful diplomacy requires people to think. And even before you write, they take time to write and respond, because it's a game of being careful. It's not a game of saying anything. That's why it's a WTO thing. And maybe there was also supposed to be, because Taiwan is a developed country and it has economic power. Maybe there was also time of having a trade agreement, just that one word you have mentioned, to say Taiwan, the province of China. Then you lose it all. But it's also telling you a lot to say, it's not only about diplomacy, but also in real life, to say, engaging with people, we must also be real careful, especially when we are speaking with people. Because sometimes one word, sometimes just one statement, one gesture, and even the jokes that we like making, sometimes your joke is not appropriate at that time, or it's an insult to a person. Then you end up losing it all. But yeah, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we look at the economic jargons. We look at economic communication. We look at the hidden language in policy and the delay of citizen participation. Especially when you're asking a question to say, how many documents meant for Namibians are read and understood by Namibians, and also how many financial trade communications agreements are meant for Namibians and read and understood by Namibians, why we do not have imported documents translated in Namibian vernacular language from Kwekwe, Hwapo, Jerero, Setswana, Masuvia, and you know, any other local language that can be written and simplified, and why our citizens are still attracted to conversations that are not taking us anywhere. Why are citizens, we are only known to be entertainment people, but we are not known to be economic movers? And in the world where social media is number one.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, and in the world of social media, you can also see that a lot of people, they get away with it. A lot of things are done in front of you. But just because you are not attracted, or just because that language is so technical. And I think it's really a role of PRO, media too, but also for institution to ask a question to say, in terms of our communication, how many of public information that we give out there are understood by public? Because it's not correct when somebody go and attend, for example, Independence Day, and just come back without anything. A person just say, no, we went there, we were waiting to eat. And people don't see this. People go to consultative meetings of policy. People just want to eat and go home. They want to drink that still water and go home. And this is really killing us. You think you are engaging people, but people are not concentrating, because you are speaking an alien language. Because you fail to transform from the boardroom to the field. That's why we don't have words such as bonds, words such as repo rates, bilateral relations, those words in our vernacular language. We don't know the meaning of them. We can't. That's why we cannot be able to simplify. You know, there was a time one person has stated a statement. It's not really a senior figure in the corporate sector, just as a middle manager, and just translate and put it in public to say, what you said here, it means that you have failed to do this. But no, you are misquoted. You are not misquoted. maybe you just do not understand what you said, but the words are hidden in those communication means that you did not do anything, or it means that you have failed. But have we come to that point of simplifying? Maybe we can also get assistance. Maybe the reason our economy is not doing well because we are not communicating. Maybe because we are too into entertainment. We are too into, into gossips. Look at a bad news of David. If he's posted on social media, everybody will be there liking and talking. But why are we still? Is the coloniality of the mind still within us? We have been like that for a very long time. Colonialism have gone. Now let's take out our strategic sector. But for us to take the strategic sector, we need to communicate those things. People are buying shares in banks. Communications are there, but hidden in technical languages. It's only people that are closer to influence that are getting there. People are getting shares in mines. They are getting shares in they are getting fishing quotas in various industries. While we are just busy dancing in a single quota. While we are just busy dancing in a single quota, get kapana and start talking things that are not making sense. The question is that, is it really to blame a lay person or blame institution that was supposed to empower us? And I think if we are continue to do this, you wonder why you have an institutional plan that is not understood. You have a report of an institution or a review of institutional performance, but it's not understood by anybody within that institution. Because of technical languages. You have external consultant who does not understand how Namibia operate and come and do the review and present data and we go home, thank you. In Namibia, economic implementers are attending meetings just to get S&Ts, get food and go home. And it's very problematic. You find it very problematic because if you start seeing various... If the debate of policy incoherence come to the fore, you start understanding that a lot of people do not even understand what they are communicating and what they are doing because things are hidden in languages. And even themselves who are in charge of those policies, they only understand it to their level. They cannot simplify it. Somebody make a funny comparison to say, you know, the reason we don't understand this these things of climate issues is because scientists, when they communicate, they have lacked communication skill because they are not used to simplify things to people. Maybe the reason we are not thriving in science and technology is because our science teachers were only teaching us to pass, but they were not really teaching us to understand. Because if you cannot explain science in Kwekwe Khwab, if you cannot explain science in Afrikaans and Oshiwambo, how will you build a drone? You are not going to build it. If there is an indication to say the smaller businesses are not able to get fundings from commercial banks and commercial financial institutions, what is the problem? Where are the documents? Were they informed? And I'm always telling people that I'm not an expert. My interest has always been in informal economy to say, if there's a document that you have produced for informal economy, did you even try to simplify that document to people that you have studied? Because if we don't do that, then forget about development. If you cannot simplify, forget about development. If you cannot communicate policies, forget about that. Because we need to understand issues beyond the technicality of things. That's why you wonder if you attend the different events, you look at a citizen asking a question. People are already speaking about AI and innovation, but there is still somebody who's speaking about where to get food the next day. yes, a budget is presented. What people are interested in is just who is given how much, but there are no technical explanation to say why are we not growing the economy, why the economy is not growing. Because it's hidden in technical language, and media can't do everything. And we must find a way to make sure that there is a national, not a national dialogue. I want to say there is a national understanding of us operating at the same frequency. Somebody stand up and we are doing very well for our people. Do your people understand that you are doing very well for them? But it's a situation that we are living in. There was a certain business person who came from Asia. That person was a kindergarten teacher. When came to Namibia, the person was just having a suitcase, and when you are looking at that person now, he's one of the most successful wealthy person in Namibia. But that business person, what helped the person is understanding the whole process in the vernacular language. Because, you know, Asian, when they come here, some of them, they don't even speak English. But they have to simplify their vernacular language. Why do you think they managed to build those bigger bridges? Because engineering is simplified even to in their vernacular language. South Africa is thriving because they have managed in terms of communication. They have understood simplification. But in Namibia, we are too technical. We are operating at the sophisticated your language is, the smarter you, the more smarter you sound. But when it comes on the ground, results, they are subdued. They are nowhere to be seen. But it's something that we have to deal with time by time and really find a way. Because if you have an agreement to do a certain business and you communicate that to the public, do the public understand the whole thing of a win-win? You can, because in Namibia you can come up with an agreement and we are saying you are winning, but you are making a loss in front of us, but we don't get it because it's hidden in the technical languages. It's hidden. Then the question that we should also ask is that who should do that? Who should simplify complicated languages to everybody? It's a responsibility of a communicator. It's a responsibility of an industrial leader to make sure that whatever you are saying is understood by audience. Whatever you are saying is understood by audience. Because somebody can stand up in a public platform and do all the good talking and go home. People clap hands, but my focus is just that takeaway and the water. By the end of the day, I go back, but I don't even know. But people were talking about me getting finance. I did not even know. I did not even want to know. That is how backward we are going. And we should really try our best to make sure that we are operating at the same frequency. Good intention is being presented. Do you know that there are a lot of people who are thriving because we do not understand critical information? Because our ignorance is advantage to people that are very closer to information. Because information, right economic information, matters almost to everybody. Because once we are empowered, then we can be able to do the job. Let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll also look at an example of AI, particularly borrowing from the conversation of yesterday, when you have a country with the highest rate of inequality, and you also want to bring about transformation, particularly with artificial intelligence. Then the question is also that in terms of information, in terms of data, where are we, and how are we going to move forward as a country? So Let's get a short commercial break, then we can be able to continue. Because today, we have to expand that simplification to say, let us simplify. If you are running an institution that has to do with previously disadvantaged people or assisting the people in the rural community, don't just go and give them a bag of maize and give them clothes or give them money. Make them understand to say, you are getting this assistance because you are previously disadvantaged, but you also need to do this and this. You are getting this, but it's not for free. You are also a responsible citizen. These are the programs that you need to do. And I'm not just here because of the workshop. If you are a policy analyst or a policy maker or a policy evaluator, explain to an institution to say, guys, your institution is going down. You only made profit from here. But you have wasted, investment here. Now, this project must be reviewed. And the fault is for this one must be dealt with. That can be more easier for us to find a way. And I'm very happy with what the Prime Minister has stated, especially when also focus on strengthening performance within the public sector. And also evaluating the performance in the public sector, which is really good. But what matters is communication. How is it going to be communicated? Because you can still find a person who can go to work and start being on YouTube watching movies, and the person doesn't even understand what they are doing within that public sector, because things are not communicated to him, or because there is a lack of understanding to say, if you are in a public sector and you are not doing anything, the government is losing money. Because money is not what you are seeing. If you go to work at 1 o'clock, or you just go to register yourself, the government is losing a lot of money. And people do not know about these things because they are not simplified to us.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7 Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura next to Bank Venture. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-31-91-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 13th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
its staff.
Want to
know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala kunongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka oku kwetira oipindi konu konda doiminawa. Nuneudo, otu kwetira o special, ngeta shake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka, opone ujendi fenawa, nukumona oijewa ilinawa, ninge patafano na Monica ko Eagle FM, onoreta timwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. It's 3 minutes, it's 32 minutes actually, past the hour of 7. And we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. And the conversation has always been, the conversation is always to say that how can we sit on one table? How can we understand each other? And how can we communicate with each other and make sure that our economy is, expanding? And it's really not a good thing, especially where you have a country such as Uganda. I'm always competing with Zim. Even though Zimbabwe is a very big country, I'm always asking myself to say, how come a country that suffers so much because of sanction now overtaking us in a lot of things? How come a country that suffers so much with sanctions managed to maintain its airline and also managed to expand its economy? Because people that are offended in Zimbabwe are not the same as people that are fed in Namibia. And how come Uganda's economy expanding regardless of all the conflicts, but we are not? There must be something going on somewhere that we must look into. And the explanation couldn't sustain the changing of time. We cannot just say we were colonized and it's inequality. We're not even colonized by the West colonizer. West colonizer is France and Portugal. When we were colonized by Portugal, you even forget yourself. You start to think that you are Portuguese. When you are colonized by France, you even end up paying a tax after you are colonized. You say, thank you, chief, for colonizing me. I'll continue to pay you. You still continue paying colonial tax. But really, what is that we really need to do, especially when it's not only about building the economy, operating at the same frequency? And you can see this. Let me tell you one thing. When you go to a wedding, or when you go to even a funeral, any family gathering, you find out that yes, we are the same people. We may be the same family. But there is always a division. We may be speaking about the same topic. But those who went to school, they always have their own group. Those who have been at the village, they always have their own group. But the conversation is one thing. Those who are in the middle, artisans are on this side, lawyers are on this side, teachers and nurses are on this side, and those senior guys are on their side. They may be speaking about the same thing, but they are just on their side. That is, that can, in a broader context, that can really tell you one thing to say. We may be speaking about the same thing, but due to our knowledge and, the way we are using our technical terms, we think we are isolated. And that is very dangerous and is damaging a lot of, not only institutions, but communities too. Because what is needed is connection between somebody who is at the cattle post and the Minister of Agriculture. What is needed is what is a clear communication between a security guard at a mining company and the Minister of Industry and Mines. There is one line of communication because they are working in the same field. somebody, there must be a communication between the legal clerk and a minister of justice. Because if you have that flaw, things will just move. Because if you have a blockage, technical terms, things are going under review. Things did not reach my office and all these things. Or things are not well understood. Or money can go back because this project is not well understood. We need another consultant. Things will not work out. If not only a teacher, if you know, a cleaner at a certain school understand the objective, understand clearly the objective of the Ministry of Education, this person will be able to perform his or her duty very well because they are in the same field. But in Namibia, you have information are blocked, not really because people don't want to communicate. People are communicating to you without communicating to you. Speech are not too professional, technically maneuvering public scrutiny. And people get angry when you translate the, when you simplify their communication, because if you are hiding behind the technical words and I'm simplifying your communication to say, here you just said your performance was very low, or you just said you have an intention and you don't do anything for the past 4 years. Why do you get angry? Because somebody was supposed to ask you that. That's why when people read things on in the media, they become so shocked. But I think that thing was communicated to you when you were standing there. But it's not every day that it's going to be simplified to you. So you realize that we really have a problem. But when you go to other countries, when you look at South Africa, when you look at the US, for example, you look at Uganda, you look at Egypt, you look at compare advanced countries, you realize to say, in that context, people, when you speak, they understand where you are going and they hold you accountable, and they're asking for their services every day. Why do you think people are still confused which offices to go when they need what assistance? Do you think information was not communicated? Information was communicated, but was not communicated at their level. You know, if you want to understand information simplification, look at the West cases, particularly Home Affairs had the history of, people complaining about the way they deal with management of public public service. But people did not understand. Every day a person is just told, go back, bring me your full birth certificate, go back, bring two people to confirm that you are what. It was communication. It was information communication. That's why the employees also got frustrated. Then they become, they got a lot of really public relations due to that. But I think now it's well in order. But it still has to go to information simplification to say, the moment we start communicating in the same language, the moment economic jargons are not used to hide, lack of progress, the moment the legal jargons are not used to hide, criminalities, the moment the mining agreements and trade agreements are not simplified to people to know, then we are not going to have progress. But when you have information communicated to everybody in the language they understand about the buying of shares, about investment in various institutions, about bonds, about fish quotas. Why somebody of my age has a fish quota? You think I don't want it? I want it, but the information was not communicated to me. It was hidden. Why somebody has mining interest in my own country, somebody who is younger than me and maybe less educated than me, not to underestimate the person, but the person was given the right information. But was this information for the public? Yes, it was for the public. When was it communicated? Yes, it was communicated to everybody, but in a hidden technical way. and it delay progress. So let's get a short commercial break and we can continue.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to
of
know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite ofoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kova.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo tave lipulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe uyako fikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi pakete. Top score instant. Oyaita kwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli bahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha ko ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vilimwe danamibia oshipu nengono. Lando kashako ko KG imwe ele KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi longwa shishe ndeto SMS o shicha instant. Totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli otali kulmo milongo natu nalimwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpani na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibia Mills.
Your bank would never scare or tempt you to act fast. If it sounds too urgent or too good, call 0612991200. Bank Windhoek, a member of Capricorn Group.
Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Yeah, we are continuing with the Early Morning Scoop. And there's disturbing news coming from Kenya there. Oh, it was indicated that mass grave of 32 bodies, including children, discovered in Kenya. Authorities in Kenya has uncovered disturbing mass grave in Kericho, where officially exhumed a dozen bodies, including fetus, a case of expanding scale. Investigations are ongoing, and that happened a week after the police received reports of secret burial sites over the weekend. And that is initially appeared to be around 14 bodies has expanded, 32 bodies. And I know you're asking yourself a question to say, what really happens? Are these the people who are lost? Are these people coming from mortuaries? Or is it a cult? Or what's going on? And it's Kenya for you. And most of these small children, it's indicated that 7 adults and 25 children, some of them neonates and fetus, that remain away, stuck in guinea pigs. There's an ongoing investigation. And you are really asking yourself, Africa, what's going on with us? We are just, not good people. What really happened? But stated that the grim was discovered after 3 years after, 3 years after, Shakahora Forest massacre, where hundreds of bodies were found along Kenya's coast in one of, the deadliest, cult-related disaster. Some of these things African people do also. These things African people do. They are always, they are bad news and not good for the future. You ask yourself why Africa is not progressing. Some of the things that we also do as Africans, they are not, in line with the intention of humanity. And the question is that who put these bodies here? Are these people killed? Are they rebelled? Is it an occult or something? And what is going on? And there is a lot of questions, especially me reading reports on migration. You realize to say some of the people are not lost on the way. Some of the people die on the way. And also some end up not discovered. Especially these missing issues must really be concerned. Somebody travel between Angola and Egypt and did not reach any of those destinations. Ask yourself what really happened. And you must always be careful, especially when our relatives are saying we are traveling. Traveling to who? I'm not discouraging anybody to go out and see any, those who are most interested in spiritual intervention, that is your own choice, but at least people must know where you are, because anything can happen. And this is Africa. It's not Singapore. And we pretend to ignore most of these things, but if you are being careful, realize to say the danger is around. It's for you to be very careful and also understand that, where you are coming from and also where you are going. While we are there, there is one interesting thing that happened in the informal market of Iran. And I just realized that, there is a lot of things in this war. Because apart from Iran, economic sanctions, apart from also Iran decided to trade in terms of Chinese money, there is ongoing conversation, especially with what small markets have done, to say the small business people in Iran, because people are going through a lot, they run out of funds because there is no work. They come up with a policy of take, and when you look on social media, you read there's a policy of saying take an item now and bring the money after the war. And this is a solidarity. The people are indicating to say, if you want sugar, they have a tax shop and I'm in Iran. So, you know, don't worry. Take sugar now. Take bread now. And pay after the war. Then you realize to say that these guys are willing to sacrifice everything. And you just do not know. And so you also realize that when in the time of difficulty, people always find the ways to survive. That's why I'm also a strong believer that the world is not coming to an end soon. Because people find the ways to survive. People survive drought, survive pandemic. In the world, there is always somebody to tell the story. Whatever weapons people use. And it's part of community survival strategy. And especially during the economic crisis, to say, take now and pay after the war. The question is that when is the war going to end? The supermarkets, the mini markets, they are saying, take what you need, as long as your records are here. And after the war, you'll be able to pay. People must eat. And it's part of internal borrowing strategy. And you can really see to say, the world was not built by bigger corporation. The world was built by cooperating informal economic operators, because still in war, they still hold the backbone of the economy. You realize to say that there is much power in domestic, economy. That's why that strategy is my fault. The first time I'm hearing it, to say, no, how come you say people must pay after the war? What if they take all the stock? Say if you don't have enough money, no worry. After the war, we are going to pay the money. So it's part of a solidarity also to say, conflict bring people together. There's a lot of things that you learn to say. If you have a common pain, somebody that you have suffered with, you find a way of cooperating. And that was also shown to say Namibia was more united, particularly when we are fighting. Not me, but also who fought on my behalf. When they were fighting apart, they were more united. They did not even care whether which language you speak. It was a united front. But after that, are we still a united front, or we are divided by our economic class, our economic classes? People were a united front. People were in the same camp, fighting along each other. But when they come in the country, one become a major general, or one become a brigadier general. The other one just a private or just a second rank in the army. They don't talk to each other anymore. People are not talking to each other anymore. One become a corporate chief, another one maybe become sick. They don't talk to each other anymore. But why? What is uniting us so that we can fight this battle on an economic front? Because on an economic front, the statistics are not on our side. And I wish the announcement from tomorrow, and I'm not scaring anybody, from the Ministry of Mines will be favorable so that we can still progress. Good morning.
Yes, my brother, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm all right.
How are things going?
Everything is fine. It's raining in the window.
Yeah. It's showering.
Yeah, it's a good thing. But, man, the last topic, I mean, when you're talking about the division, the unit.
Yeah.
Where did the division come from? Where we have even tribalism going on Namibia for 36 years.
I think it's status also, because you see, people that went to the same school, when, this thing of work, and they divide us. Mm. You can have a very good friend, né? But you just see it, and it happens when you change a class, and it's very dangerous.
Yeah,
because,
it's true.
Yeah, because we are not pulling each other.
Pulling each other, yeah, you start forgetting. But it's true. I saw it even.
It can also happen to you, because you see when you come to town and you leave your friend at the village, by the time you go back, you find it very difficult to connect again, because there is always that thing. Even them, they also don't want.
They don't want to associate with you.
Yeah, anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
Unless you make a move.
Yeah, you even try.
Yeah.
By all means,
yeah,
to bring them not to your level, but mm-hmm. just to be with them. But
yeah,
I'm telling you, they distance themselves.
Mara, you are not.
Well, you are even calling a person. I'm coming to pick you up. You are not the one.
You are not the problem. The problem is what they see from other people. Yeah.
But that is not taking us anyway.
No, definitely, because one thing I have also realized is that there is always something that you are needing from another person.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm telling you, you can have all.
Yeah.
You can have all the paper and what, but you need that person.
You know,
sometimes it's just because of what? Peace and peace of mind.
It's peace of mind. And also, you know, if you did not go home for 6 months, when you go, you need somebody who understands the game of the village.
I'm telling you.
If you lose that game, you lose a lot of things because things have changed.
Things have changed. And I don't want us to go to that scenario where you are. I don't know if there's a country, I think, in the Asia where you have to learn to both a friend. Just a person to talk to. They're like a kind of escort.
No, we don't want to get into that. I think I've seen that also.
Sweet.
Yeah. No, it's not a good thing.
No. Not at all.
But
and the way we are moving in, where we are having guys, like I can give you an example, like ours big. You see, the way they're building those big hall, the way you cannot even see your neighbor if he's there for 6 months. Because you don't talk to each other, there's a big wall between you, and there's electricity on top. There's my friend. Sometimes I'm asking myself, is this all about the security?
No, it's not. It's not about security. I think it's level. Yeah. It's levels, which can also be dangerous because some of these guys is only alone in the house. When you are sick, when you collapse, people find you.
Yeah, you are dead. You go on already.
Yeah,
decomposing.
Yeah, it happened a lot. But I think it's our economic inequality because, you know, in Namibia, our economy, there is a big gap and that is bringing us a lot of problems. Even if you are not speaking about those things, they manifest every day.
It is themselves. Yeah, exactly.
They manifest every day.
But seriously, I think we have to come to the level where we start pulling each other. I put a radar for you to cram, please hold it for me also.
Don't just
why you have to remove it?
Don't kick me.
Anyway, I see your time is up. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you for your input. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that is a good conversation. Especially, you know, economic inequality is very dangerous because, you know, you may think we are at the same frequency. That's why I'm saying, even when we are communicating, we are not at the same frequency. When you start speaking about something that you own among your friends that you went to school with, it looks like an insult to them because that is how deep our economic inequality is. People, you look on social media, people are so not jealous of each other. People are fighting each other indirectly. That is, it's also economic inequality. And if you are not finding a way, it's going to become worse because we are few, and we have a very big gap. Yeah, that's why even in terms of, you know, not really to say you must give charity, just holding each other's hands to say, okay, I know you, let me give you this information. Because people, we also have a problem now because of our inequality, we just want properties and finance. Even give a person information to say, I know you can do this, why can't I give you this information? And it's killing a lot of young people. Especially the gap of inequality is very dangerous. That's why I'm always giving this example to say, you know, our young ladies, they enter into a dangerous zone. Particularly, you want to compete with each other. You end up doing a lot of things. And you, even guys, you end up doing a lot of things. Then you find yourself, degenerating. But that will bring us to the end of our conversation. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. Bye-bye. See you around. And sharp, sharp. Big Mac.